Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, language enthusiasts, and welcome to The Language Worker, a space to talk about the people involved in the language business in a broad sense. I'm interested in finding out how their training, work experience, and their passion for languages has shaped our guests' professional and, of course, personal lives. Join me on this journey to explore the multiple and unpredictable paths one can follow when we are involved in the magical world of languages. Adrian Probst is a Swiss freelance translator who loves working in the sports arena. He is also a content creator for his popular YouTube channel, Freelance Verse, which is a reference for anyone who wants to know all about the language service industry.
So today, I couldn't be more thrilled because I am here with a super famous, super special, amazing YouTuber. I mean, the man is popular. We have to say that. And it's really, really nice to talk to you, Adrian. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation. I know you have a lot to do. You're preparing to travel, as far as I know. So if you could just a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about your background.
Sure, yes. Hello, Rita. Hello, listeners. Thank you so much for inviting me. Pleasure to be here. And of course, I said yes. You were so surprised. Of course, I come on. I told you before, I listened to every English episode. So, and now the sun is coming out, so I'm illuminated.
Same here. It's all good.
Yes, so I'm Adrian. I'm a German. Well, I'm Swiss, but I'm a German translator. So Swiss German is my native language. I've been working in the language industry since 2016. And since 2020, as you said, I have a YouTube channel called The Freelance Verse, where I share every Monday, at once a week, a video about translation, freelancing, language. I keep it relatively open because I really just want to do whatever I want to do on there. And the goal was to do it for 1 year. And then people told me, please continue. And now it's been 3 years and I still enjoy it very much. It gives me a lot of opportunities. But my main work is still the language work. I do many different services within this industry. Now lately also more like in a consulting manner as well for companies. So I do language consulting sessions for companies that want to expand to Switzerland, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is my journey. And I never thought about becoming a translator was not my main goal. I never had even the idea that this is even a profession. But I have a business background. I did a business apprenticeship. Then I did a pre-business school, basically going. My plan was to go to business school, but then I didn't have the necessary grades in like maths and stuff. So only my language grades were good. So then I checked the Swiss universities for degrees that you have to be good in languages. And that's when I was first confronted with translation and interpreting. So I went for that bachelor. And yeah, now I'm working in this industry since then.
Wow, that's insane. That's very unusual. So what kind of kid were you in that case? So you didn't really focus on languages until you were much older. So what happened growing up?
I mean, I wasn't the person that thought about my professional future very often, you know. It was just, I grew up in a very traditional and small village with my life plan basically laid out, right? It would have been very easy to just follow this traditional route without deviating too much. But then quite early on, I realized that this is not me and I have kind of a different idea of my life, but I didn't really have an idea what I want to do. And I also didn't have any different role models in a way in my family, because everyone stayed in this village, right? And I mean, it's not a bad thing. I love going there, but it's just something very different for me. So I had to kind of figure out my way on my own, what I wanted to do. And then I always moved away a bit further when I first moved to the closest biggest city from my village, which is Bern. I felt like, oh, this is really far, right? But then I went further. I went to Zurich, and then I went to the Netherlands, and then I went to Brussels. So it's always a slow, how do you say, like a progression somehow.
Yeah.
Things become relative, right? Once you are somewhere, it doesn't feel that far anymore. And then when I look back and thinking that I would have lived in another country 10, 15 years ago, this would have been unimaginable. And now I'm saying, oh, it's just 6 hours by train to go home, right? It's all becoming relative. But yeah, the only thing I knew what I wanted to do was some kind of office work, probably some kind of business.
So you thought of having your own business back then, or not in that perspective? Just
kind of,
for somebody else?
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, I saw my dad. He was working in a sales position. He was leading a big team of salespeople in the automotive industry. And I went a few times to his company, and I saw like the big multinational business environment, and I was attracted by that. I thought, this is, I can see myself in this surrounding. That's why I went down this path as well. And then I could still see myself in this situation within the language industry. You know, I work now as a freelancer for 6 years, but I'm not saying at all that this is what I want to do forever, right? I could definitely imagine myself going back into the how do you say that, like the employee-employer relationship. Like, I'm not opposed to that at all. I think it could definitely happen. And I do get often now asked, or I get like job offers through LinkedIn or
I bet you do.
Yeah, and it's always interesting, because like it's kind of, you ask yourself, what would someone have to offer me to give up my lifestyle that I have now, right? Because oftentimes it's also linked to with like moving to London or moving to Berlin or something. So there's a lot coming with this job offer, and so far it has not been enough for me to make the jump, but who knows, maybe one day something comes along that I can't refuse. But yeah, it was not like, I go with the flow. I don't have any long-term plans. I never had it. So I'm just enjoying when I'm happy, and at the moment I'm happy, so that's good.
So you see yourself working, for example, for a big, let's say, LSP, I assume, more from a business point of view?
That could be possible, but I doubt that I would go to an LSP. I could rather see myself in a multinational company that doesn't necessarily work in the language industry, but me being the link of the communication, the localization within this company.
Yes, that's very on trend right now. I know that there's a lot of companies, especially in the pharmaceutical field, others too, because I've seen a lot of my friends that I met in the LSP world, because I've been working in LSPs for a long time now. Well, I'm not at the moment, but I was until recently, and I was for about 13 or 14 years in a row. I worked for big LSPs. And I understand that a lot of the people who used to work with me are now working for companies that are not LSPs, but are actually doing that you're saying, being the link between the company and either freelancers or other LSPs, smaller LSPs, local LSPs, and all of that. So I understand that there's a big a big possibility that, in case you would be interested, that you would have that opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. It would just need to be an opportunity that would still allow me the same freedom. I mean, not the same freedom, that's not possible that I have now, but kind of related, and, you know, just a creative position that could be interesting. But at the moment, I'm talking like I'm looking for something, but I'm not.
I know you're not. I'm the one, when
I'm
you mentioned
with
companies and languages, my mind goes to that, because it's my, you know, I'm the one who thinks about it from that perspective constantly, because I mean, it's here all the time for me. So yeah, that's my fault.
No, it's fine. The moment I'm
However,
trying to grow my freelance business into something that is kind of, I people ask me to define what I plan with this, where I see it in 5 years, and I can't really define it, but it will grow into something like a cluster, like a group of individuals working together, without any typical strong hierarchy, you know, but everyone is on the same level, supporting each other with different branches of like content creation, translation, consulting, and something like this. So I'm thinking about how to build this into something bigger.
Yeah, totally makes sense. So how was it different studying business and then studying translation? What was that a clash? Did you feel like there was a lot of difference between the people, the environment, and all of that? Or was it in the end you felt that it was not so different?
It was very different.
I
I suddenly only did things that I liked. I mean,
know.
that was amazing. Before there was like, oh, Monday I have to do accounting, I have to do math, I have to do statistics. And then suddenly it was like Monday translation, Tuesday cultural, learning about the country, and Wednesday researching. And yeah, I really enjoyed my studies very much. In Switzerland, we have two universities that offer this track. One is in French and one is in German. So for me, it was quite clear to go there. And basically, everyone from the country goes to the school. And so everyone with the same kind of ambition and same mentality comes there together, right? And immediately, you have a group of people that are very like-minded. I mean, I found some of my best friends there that I still, count as my best friends, and it was an amazing time. I'm very happy I did this degree. Many people ask me now if it's important to have a translation degree, and I tell them this is a weird question, because are you asking, is it important to succeed as a translator?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I would say no, but is it important to grow as a person? 100%. Which then leads to the second part as well, right? Without this degree, I would have never ended up where I am now. So in a way, it's very much connected, but you can always make it without, that's no question. But even just for the connections that I made there, they are actually my friends, but they are also my business connections, because they work now in the industry and they get me through funnels to get to jobs, right? So yeah, all these things matter a lot. And when someone asks me, I always tell them it's probably better if you do a degree, if you can afford it and if you have the time, but not for the reasons that you think it is important.
Yes, I totally get it. So was it during your translation studies or your business studies that you went to Ireland?
Yes, during my translation studies.
That's what I thought. I saw Dublin.
You did
I'm
your
like, oh,
research.
Just a little bit.
Yes,
Why did you go to
course.
Dublin? I suppose you had a wide variety of places to choose from. I don't really know how. I guess it was the Erasmus year.
Well, because Switzerland is not in the EU, so we don't have Erasmus per se, right? So everyone else was paid to be there, and I had to pay thousands of Swiss francs to be there. So it's a bit different. But yeah, I think the fourth or fifth semester, I can't remember. I think it was the fifth semester of the six in total was a semester abroad.
So it's even better. You had the freedom to not go, choose not to go. You could go anywhere, and you decided to go to Dublin. Was there a previous connection? Was that something that you were trying to explore? Was it the language?
It was. I had been before once in Ireland, so I knew I loved the country. The nature, the greenery. I mean, it's so beautiful.
Yes, I was there, and I was there just for a week, and I I was like, I'm always thinking about going back because it's just
Right. Yeah.
insane.
It's
It's
been
like
too
you're
long for me.
dreaming
I
all the
should
time,
also go
right?
back.
You look and you're like, is this really here?
Is
Really
this
strange.
reality? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were very lucky actually when I was there, because I was there from September to January, so it could have been horrible weather, right? But it was actually one of the most beautiful autumns, so it was, we were very lucky. It was my first choice, so we had, I think we had a like three options you could choose from, and then they don't guarantee that you go to your first option, so if it's full then you just go to the second or the third. And I remember I did Ireland first choice, Scotland second choice, and then I did like a rogue one in the US, like Penn State University in Michigan or something as the third one. And I was like, oh, I hope, in a way, I hope I don't have to go there, but it would have also been cool. But then they gave me the first option.
Michigan, it's like you wouldn't say California or New York or something like
I don't think
that.
there was an option for that. I think
Ah.
there was Alaska and there was Michigan, and I said, I'm not gonna go to Alaska.
Alaska, I love it.
But then, yeah, no one else wanted to go to Dublin, so I went alone. Almost in all other universities, there were a couple of people going together, you know, but I don't know why actually, but I went alone and it was amazing. It's a very good time.
Yeah, so I thought it was funny because, of course, you studied, I suppose, English and French, is it?
Yeah, I did
So they're your
English
source
and French
languages?
to German translation. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
so.
But you know what, in the Erasmus semester, yes, there's not much studying going on there. This is more
Have
like
no
a
experience with that myself, but it was still very early stages of Erasmus. Some people were already going, and in my university or in my college, people were going to Italy that year, I guess. During the time that I was there, it was very popular to go to Italy. And I was
Yeah.
like, I've never been, I'm a bit of a terrible example of an European person, I always say, because I really prefer other places, to be honest. That's why I lived in the States for 6 years. Then it's
Oh,
true
you
that
did. Okay.
I did. I lived in Barcelona for 2 years because I was working for a small LSP.
Yes,
No, I was working for Transperfect, specifically in
I could guess.
in the Barcelona office. But really, my traveling adventures, the ones that I really enjoyed, were the first time I ever went abroad, I went to Dubai. So there you go. So
Wow, okay.
I went to Dubai. Then I went to Colombia for a terminology symposium.
Wow.
Yeah,
Okay.
it was amazing. And then I ended up living in the States. And that's the kind of thing that I like, going
You like to go further.
far
Yeah.
because you learn so much and it's just insane. I think I left the States years and years ago, but I guess at least half of my brain, I guess it still lives by American standards. It's such an
Really?
impact, this whole
Yeah.
idea of living in
Where
such
did you
a
live?
in California.
Of course.
So
Nice.
I was in Los Angeles for 5 years, and then I ended up going to the Bay Area for the last year that I was there. And it's like a huge clash to go from Los Angeles to San Francisco because San Francisco is so much more like a European city. And I was a bit like, oh no. And
It's too close to home.
it's like you have the yellow cars and you have the bridge and you have all of that, like in Lisbon, and even the way that the city is laid out has a lot of similarities. So I was like, oh, what
Okay.
the hell is this? So now I always talk about my US experience with the focus on my Los Angeles times. So that was
Yeah,
really
yeah, yeah.
it's just a strange place because it's not beautiful to visit. I mean, if you just go there for no good reason, but if you have your references and if you want to go and look at things that matter to you in the movies, in the music industry, then it's just an amazing experience. But that's why I don't travel so much in Europe because I always like going to. So my big goal is to go to Brazil as soon as possible.
Okay,
I just
nice.
identify more with those people, but not you. You are a full-blown European
Full-blown
continent.
European. Yeah, that's true actually. My girlfriend had a few years ago had the idea of moving further once in her life, and
And you're
I
like,
said, I'm
far, but
sorry,
not that far.
feel free to go, but I can't do that. No, I need to have the quick train connection to the family. It's very important to me. So
Yes, that does
I
feel a
like to
bit
travel,
strange.
but Yeah, living abroad is fine, just needs to be still
Yeah,
close to home. I'm still
still
a
around the
village,
corner.
a little bit of a village boy stayed in me.
So then, after all of your travelings and movings and goings and comings and all of that stuff in 2016, why is it the year that you consider that you established yourself as a freelance translator?
That was because I went to the Netherlands to do a master's degree. I wanted to focus a bit on computational linguistics, so I thought I was working before in a translation agency as a project manager, and it kind of put me off becoming a translator, to be honest. I was a bit, I don't know, I didn't really see the nice aspects of it. I guess it just always putting people under pressure, and the texts were not so interesting and stuff. So I don't know, it was just, I realized I don't want to be a translator, but I want to work in this industry. So I went to the Netherlands to do a master's in the closest thing you could get to computer science without having a technical background, right? So it was kind of a humane aspect of IT. And it was great, but then I ran out of money very quickly because it's expensive to live there without an income. So then I was thinking either finding a student job or just finding a job on the side. But then also I was also thinking I also do have a degree in something, right? I am officially a translator, so I might as well give it a shot. And I thought I would just do some translations on the side to finance my master's. And I signed up with all the usual platforms that you would start off on, and very quickly found a job that I was very surprised about. It was a direct client. It was my first ever client.
Wow, that's wow, no. It's
I
very
have no
unusual.
idea why they find. I mean, I know why they found me, but it made no sense. They just found me because I lived in the same city that this company was, so they just looked for someone local for no reason. Like, why would you need someone local? But
But I understand that in the States it still happens these days that they prefer
yeah,
someone who, yeah, it's true. So I understand.
okay. So yes, I did this like shoe website for women's shoes. Me with my years of experience of in women's shoes, right?
I love it as a
I
first project is that you start at the bottom, so it's true.
live. I literally had to look up everything. I mean, I had no
That's
idea what
really
even.
hard. I mean, that's
Oh
really,
yeah,
really
oh
hard.
yeah. I learned so much about women's shoes that summer.
So
But it
in
was
case
great.
they cross my path, I know who to ask.
Yeah. I haven't worked on that thing since then, but I mean, it's, yeah, I wasn't qualified to take this job. Officially, I should have declined. But right, if you start out and someone offers you, like, I don't know, this was like 600 euros or so, and I was like, "What for doing what I like? Of course, I'm going to do it." And they were happy, and it was great. And then from then on, I just realized, okay, if I can even make like, I don't know, 600 or 1,000 euros a month by doing this, this is amazing. This pays my groceries. This pays my rent, and I don't need more than that, right? And then I probably worked on it too much because I became like you said before we started recording, right? When you start something, you're super excited and you spend so much time on something. And I was doing 100% master's, and I had to study a lot because it was, I had to brush up on my technical stuff and statistics and maths and programming and stuff. So a lot of studying, and still I was working maybe close to 50% next to it on this, suddenly this dream I had. That's when it was born. I was like, what if I could actually do this for a living? That would be amazing. And I was still young, and I still had more energy
Still young.
than I have now.
So funny.
So I would take the morning train at like 6 a.m. And I had 1 hour to go to university, so I was working in the train on the translation. Then at lunch, I would go to the library, work on translation, go back to class.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Take the train back, work again, and then work until like midnight. So I don't recommend it, only if you have energy and you want to really make it work. But it turned out great. And then by the end of the master's in 2017, I had it ready to kind of launch into this full time. Mm-hmm. It was still a big decision because I didn't know if I would find more clients to fill the rest. But as I said, I had many connections from my bachelor's that worked in agencies, for example, that could easily get me in there mm-hmm. without having to go through the normal hoops. You know, it's much easier when you have a connection and you have even a friend there. I mean, this was invaluable, of course. And then relatively quickly, within half a year or so, I was booked full time and have been growing this business ever since. Yeah. And then, of course, like being booked full time doesn't mean that you cannot grow anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Over the years, you kick out the less paying jobs or you find better clients, you specialize, mm-hmm. you find more direct clients. So I was very lucky that I have been now relatively fully booked for many years, but still the business is growing. So that's great.
So speaking of specialization, I saw it on your LinkedIn profile that you specialize in, I love it, IT and sports.
Yes, yes.
So the IT part, I totally get it. I guess it's been explained extensively, right? So you have really a background in all of that, and you studied computational linguistics and all of that. So what about sports? Because as we know from our extraordinaire business owner, Martina, right? Sports are very specific, and obviously you don't specialize in all sports, I suppose, or is there like a guiding line there, or what kind of sports? Is it more mainstream sports? Is it more radical things? So usually what kind of projects do you have in that area?
Yeah, I can't keep up with Martina, so that's impossible. No one can. She is like, has the laptop here and is climbing on the wall.
She doesn't need either of her hands to type.
No, but it's great. I look up to her very much. It's cool. It's more the mainstream sport for me, I would say, and not even the sport per se. I mean, I do work on like the actual sport content, but mm-hmm. I mostly work on the things surrounding the sport, like the culture, mm-hmm. the footwear, the fashion,
about shoes, so that's all good.
Yeah, exactly. I went from women's shoes to football and basketball shoes. Yeah,
that's good.
And I work for like associations, football associations, for example, and was very involved in the recent World Cup. So football and winter sports, skiing, snowboarding, cross country, all these things are what I focus on most. And then a few of my clients are companies that are not technically sports companies, but they're very closely linked to mm-hmm. a sport, or for example, they sponsor some events. They are the main mm-hmm. sponsor for football tournament or a skateboard tournament. And a lot of their content is related to sports, but not fully about the actual mm-hmm. sport, right? More about an event. So a lot of things come together. Like there is marketing in there, there's fashion in there, there's like actual rule books of sports in there. So sports is a very wide specialization, which I like as well, because with IT you can be kind of put in a box because you have to specialize within IT very much. So there is no point that you can actually specialize in the whole of IT. It's so broad, right? Mm-hmm. So in IT, I mostly have the similar sort of texts, whereas in sports, I leave it very wide. I I decide on a case-by-case basis if I take the job, basically. Mm-hmm. And then I still do a lot of general stuff, by the way. I mean, people talk a lot about specialization, how important it is, but people should not be put off by also doing general things, right? You don't need
That's
to
true.
put yourself so much into this mindset. I can only work on this. Like, you can do that if you want to, but I enjoy doing other stuff as well.
Yeah, the clients and the market will tell you, right? They'll either come to you or not come to
Exactly.
you, or looking at your background, they can decide if they think that you're the right person for them or not, especially these days that you have so many options and so much information available. And speaking
Exactly,
of
yeah.
information, in 2020, you had this other idea
Yes.
about doing something different about the same. You're a bit like me. I've done all sorts of things. I was a project manager, I was a vendor manager, I was a terminologist. I did all sorts of things. Then when I was in the States, I was a language consultant, which means that I did anything, but
Nice.
I worked on site, right? So they would call me in. So my biggest client at that time was Apple. So I would go to the office for a week every month for a period. And so, you know, that kind of thing. So I understand just doing this, doing that. So I think all we want people like us is to work in this language area, right? And then we just take it as it comes. So I get that. So one day you thought to yourself, well, I'm a fully booked translator, but I really want to do something else. Or how did it happen? This YouTube channel, right? So
It kind of, I mean, COVID happened and we were at home, everyone, and the
bored.
economy was crashing, right? Like, all the stocks were in the basement, and I just asked myself, like, I need to do something like this. It's good what I'm doing, but if I really want to create something bigger and like have an income, for example, that is also generating something without me adding to it, I need to branch out, right? I need to,
Oh, you already had that business mindset, right? Unlike people
for
like
sure,
me.
for sure. This was very
Oh,
much in the back of my mind,
okay.
and I had a few ideas, but YouTube was always, I'm very fascinated by it. I'm also an avid watcher of a lot of content, right? And I think it has still huge potential, not YouTube in general, but just video content. YouTube is just the biggest platform, and so it's a mean to the, yeah, to the cause, basically. But it could be any company, it doesn't really matter, right? But video content is extremely important and extremely valuable. You mentioned it as well before, right? That you find your YouTube like video podcasts finding more pairs of eyes. And it's so, I'm not ex I'm sure it's or I'm sure I'm not sure, but I think it is the faces, right? People connect with someone through faces and facial expressions. You can build a much stronger connection. And I always had the idea of doing something on YouTube, but I didn't know what, and I didn't really just want to do a personal channel of, like, I don't know, like lifestyle channel or a typical YouTuber's channel. But I knew that I could probably do something with my profession, but I needed to find to have some experience that I can actually talk about something. I mean, I guess you could start out when you're starting as a translator and kind of document it. That would be interesting as a journey on how to get there. Some people started it actually. But then 2020, I had 4 years experience, and I thought, yeah, why not do this challenge of just 1 year, one video, and see how it's going. If I enjoy it, and I made six videos before I even went live, before I even went public. So once I had six videos stored and I got a bit more confident, I said, okay, just gonna launch it, but I'm not gonna tell anyone, you
Did you
know.
watch them insistently, or you
Oh,
didn't, you tried not
I had to watch them when I edit them, you
edit
know.
them, of
Still
course.
now, but if I, like, oh no, if someone puts on one of my videos and I'm in the room, I'm leaving. I'm out. I can't deal with my own voice. I can watch it once when I'm editing, and then it's live and it's already past. I'm thinking about the next week, right? But like you ask if there was a business mindset there. There kind of was. I thought, because on YouTube you have to have 1,000 subscribers and like 4,000 hours watched, I think, of your content to monetize it. And I thought if I do this for 1 year every week, I might reach that threshold. Like the goal was 1,000 subscribers in 1 year, and then start to monetize it and see what I do with the channel. Just having this baseline of a monetized channel is already something extremely hard to do, right? Because if you look up, like many people are out there like me, they look up how to make money online, how to create a passive income stream or something, and a YouTube channel is always on this list, but to get there is so much work, right? You can't just start and monetize immediately. So I thought if I just do this channel challenge and have this channel there, I can still decide what I do with it after. But if it's monetized, I can see what happens. And then after 1 year, I was on like 4,000 or 5,000 already. And I saw, okay, this is going well. And now I could actually implement it into my daily workflow because now it's financially sustainable, right? And I can justify to spend time during the week on this project. It's not only a side project anymore, but it's now part of my day. I spend roughly 1 day a week on it at the moment. And I have someone helping me, someone working for me about half a day a week. And that was kind of the idea. And at the moment, I don't have a big plan anymore. Now I'm just going with the flow and trying.
Well, I guess you don't need a big plan in terms of numbers, because I checked and you have 22,700 subscribers at the moment.
Yes.
I have 40, yeah, so I mean, we're almost...
I mean, that is nice, but in a way, like, a lot of people look at the subscriber count, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, right? If they don't watch the videos, if they don't interact, if they don't do anything, if they don't post it, then I know there's a big discrepancy.
you would rather have 20,000 viewers than 20,000 subscribers.
Yeah, that's true. But you have tons of viewers anyway, right? I just saw a video where you have 13,000 views from a year and a half ago or something like that. So, I mean, let's face it, you're a success case. Right? So I guess you have, I'm not sure, but I talked to another podcaster. And I guess having a YouTube channel, being a podcaster, it's, you know, from a certain point of view, it's basically the same mechanics. And she said that a lot of people approach her to be on the show, right? Because they know that there's viewers and all that. Do you have that same situation? So people approach you to be on a show, or you just invite them yourself and just spontaneously decide who should be on the show in the cases where you have guests, because you are a one-man show and you don't always have guests, right? You do a lot of the vast majority of your videos, you just show up by yourself, and we just love it because I watch a lot of your videos. They're very helpful. The information is real. It feels like you're right there with us in the same office. So it just feels amazing. And I totally, totally understand why it's very successful. So it totally makes sense.
That's so lovely. Thank you.
Do people go I want to be in it?
I hear a lot of people that say, oh, I have your videos on in the background when I work. That's so funny. Wow. it does happen, especially this year. It has happened that people started reaching out to me and asking if we can make a video together. But that's a new thing. Before, that didn't happen. Before, I always went after the people. And it's not always easy because people don't like to be on camera. Or I say people, not. There are certain people who really like it, maybe too much. And there are certain people who just say, oh, I'm sorry, this is not for me. I have probably like on average one video a month where I have guests on, right? Sometimes it's two a month and it depends, but I have this series where I talk about specializations. Specialized it's called, and there I always have three guests on, and that's every 2 months. So I'm constantly basically looking for the next guests, you know. And there it's really not easy to find people. I the people that I ask often say, oh, it sounds cool, but it's not really for me, or I don't think I have the necessary experience to do that. But then I always say that it's actually good. Like if I approach you for that, I already know your level.
Yeah, you've seen, right? Something, right?
Yeah, there is a reason I ask you. So I always try to mix and match the panelists from like someone who started a year ago to someone who started 20 years ago to have this interaction, this dynamic.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because everyone should be represented in there, right? So for the future, people, if I reach out to you, I know already that that you will be good. Otherwise, I wouldn't ask. But of course, I understand if people decline and then I just look for someone else. Or if I find someone who is very enthusiastic, I often ask if you have someone else that you could recommend, please tell me. And they often have someone in mind. Because I get it, it's hard. Like for me, it became now natural. It feels normal to do it. I'm not really nervous anymore. But in the beginning, I was literally shaking, right? When I was recording with guests, I couldn't. I had cold sweats all over. And so, yeah, but the more you do something, the easier it gets.
Yes, and I guess now it's so easy that you started. I don't know if it's very recent, because I think you're in session 14, from what I've seen. But I guess you now feel so comfortable that you do live streams. I'm looking at the word, because I always say live cast or live something. So it's live streams, right? So you've been doing those. So you're not nervous at all.
Yeah, but no. I'm not comfortable in these yet. I was stressing like crazy. This was only the second one I did. So
where did I come up with the 14 thing? There's a
no,
14...
no, you're right. Like it is the 14th Q&A video, but usually the Q&As are pre-recorded.
Okay.
I did a live Q&A when I hit 10K subscribers, and now last Monday I did the second live Q&A, simply because I didn't have time to make a video and I'm going on holiday literally in a few hours. So
I know, I thought, why I saw it.
So I just did a live stream, so I didn't have to prepare anything. But that's a different beast. Like it feels so different because in the videos, If people saw my raw footage of filming, they would not think that I do YouTube every week, right? It's horrible what I have to cut out there. When you do something live, you don't have this option, and it's much more stressful. But yeah, it's hilarious. I usually have when I film a video of maybe 10 minutes, I have maybe 18, 19 minutes of footage, and what I cut out there is I could make so many blooper reels.
Yes, we're expecting that.
No. It's all immediately deleted.
No, that's another idea for when you don't have so much time.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
So now that you have so much content, I guess you could do a lot with it. And let me just talk about this one thing that I found out while watching, not live, but the recorded version of that Q&A session. You now have merchandise. Is it a totally new thing, or is it it's a recent thing, right?
Totally new. Yeah, I announced it on Monday. Yes.
Oh.
Sorry about the sun. I'm getting...
No, it's great. It's great. Yeah. It's fine.
It comes and goes every minute.
Yeah,
it has been a big process, actually. I was approached by a company first that said that they would like to do my merchandise. It sounded interesting, but I was also a bit... I don't know. You have to be really aware of strange people in this industry. I get offers of some weird crypto NFT games that want to pay me $5,000 for a video. No, I mean, I don't want to promote your scam, right? This is ridiculous. But then, so I was
the first of being famous.
I see now why so many big YouTubers and influencers just scam their fans, because if they offer me $5,000, imagine what they offer them. I mean, that's ridiculous. What was the question? Oh, yeah, the merch. So then I communicated with them a bit, and I just had a bad feeling. I can't really explain it, but I had a call with the guy, and he was this typical American sleazy salesman, and I was like, I don't know.
Sleazy. I love it.
I can't really describe, but I was just going out of this call and I thought to my girlfriend, this is weird. I don't want to go into business with this guy. I don't trust him at all. But I like the idea that he promoted, that he put forward. So I still stayed in touch with him a bit. And then he sent me an offer of what they had in mind. And yeah, some really weird sales funnels and sales practices. And then I said, okay, this is not for me. This is I don't want to go into that. And then once I said that to him, he started like pressuring me and being really rude. And then I said, okay, I'm really happy. Please don't contact me. And I blocked him. But the idea of merch I liked. So then I just looked into it, watched a lot of videos, read a lot about it, and tried to do this on my own. Well, with some help of some people, but me reaching out to the company on its own. I did a few samples with different companies, and it turns out that it's not easy to do. People are really keen on making crappy stuff that just pollutes the oceans and then upmarket it with like 50% margin. So I wanted to find something that was good and well made and you know, relatively sustainable and affordable. And now I finally found a company that does it to my satisfaction, and now we launched it. Now it's live.
But you're not wearing one of your t-shirts today.
No, I'm not.
Do you have the I saw you wearing the hoodie, right? And I saw that you have the mug. Do you have other things, or are they to come, or do you have like pens?
Yes. So I have two hoodies, two cups, well, two mugs, and two t-shirts. So I have one design of the channel, the Freelanceverse, and I have one design. It's like a graphic that should represent translators, translation, but not being obvious that, you know, something that also you can wear without being like a branded person. and I have basically three objects, three things with the two brandings each. Because I didn't want to just put something on a t-shirt and, you know, let it roll. So I wanted to actually perfect it to a way that is good enough for me. And I'm very happy with how it came out.
But you really want to wear your stuff, right? That's the idea.
Also. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah. And YouTube actually has this really nice implementation where you can link the store to your videos. And now when people watch my video, you just under it is a big bar with all the products. So that's really
cool. Look
how
professional and how minded this man is. Well,
but I tell people like, don't feel like I expect you to buy anything of this. Like, not at all. Like, this is just, if you come on my channel and you watch my stuff, that's more than enough. This is just something extra if you want to support
it. Exists out there, and then it's up to
it exists. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, sounds like a good approach. But I know you have to travel today, so, and we could be talking about this and everything else all day, because we like videos, we like talking, and we like talking about translation. But we talked about a lot more than translation today.
Yes. You can always come on for a part two. Just let me know.
Yes, I'm sure that will happen if I can, you know, just stay here and keep doing it. Amazing. And as you know, I have a lot of fun and I'm enjoying this so much. Like I said, maybe too much.
Too enthusiastic.
That's all I think about right now. So we'll see how that goes. So I'll let you go. Thank you so, so much for doing this. This was amazing. And I cannot thank you enough. And just, it was great to get to know you even better.
Of course. Thanks for having me. And we should also do something together for my channel. I will reach out to you.
That's a whole other ballpark. Okay. Alrighty. Thank you so much. That was amazing.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Yay. Oh, it's still on.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.